I remember sitting down with this individual in this meeting and I'm going, do you know why you're here? And they're like, no, I have no idea. It's like, okay, are you sure? So on this date at this time, you kind of had a run-in with a colleague multiple times with a chair. I'm not sure how you're not remembering this. And he's like, no, I didn't do anything like that. And I was what, 24, maybe 25 at the time. And I turned my computer around and I hit play because it was all caught on security camera. And he lost it. He dropped. If it wasn't for that union representative who had cat-like reflexes, I would have had a fist to the jaw that day.
You are now listening to the podcast where authors inspire listeners to become authors, the Going North Podcast. I'm your host, certified self-leadership trainer, best-selling author, and book enthusiast, Dom Brightman. And you're going to be listening to a different author that will inspire you to join the business of immortality, known as authorship. Now let the fun begin. Today's episode is sponsored by book number two from Dominic Dom Brightman, Stay the Course, The Elite Performer's Seven Secret Keys to Sustainable Success. It is the field guide to help unleash the elite performer that is inside of you. Cop it today on Amazon.com or heading over to DomBrightman.com and snag it in book, ebook, and audiobook. So that way you can take it on the go and get yourself on the go to your northbound success. And today on the Going North podcast, the highlight reel builder for authors, the place where folks come to promote their books, their businesses, their services, and help folks advance to their next level of freaking advancement in life. Y'all, we're back at you again, y'all. That's right, and dear, back at you again with another author, folks. That's right, and dear, courtesy of one of the best websites on planet Earth going today, known as podmatch.com, a wonderful site where wonderful podcast guests get to connect with podcast hosts. And if they're cool, they're freaking in. And today's guest is cooler than two cucumbers. Let me tell you a bit about her, because today's wonderful guest, y'all. She's a mom, y'all. She's a mom of four, y'all, as well as a conflict to growth navigator. So that's right, folks. Taking your conflicts from south all the way to north, y'all. You'll love to see it, as well as a change architect and the founder, y'all. She found something. She's the founder of Oculus Inc. So let's give it up for the magical meow herself, the one, the only Kat Newport. How you doing today, Kat?
Doing really good, Dom. How are you?
Doing fabulous, Friday day. Hashtag fabulous Friday. Yeah, that's right indeed. That's right indeed. No glitter required either. That's right. It's a bonus. But it ain't about glitter. It's about cats. Oh, my goodness. As with all introductions, they're not allowed to be 73 days long, and it probably only covered, I don't know, 73 seconds. Am I filling in, folks, and how you became the cat that you are today?
Wow. Long journey. Long journey. She covered the major highlights. You missed the grandbabies, though. There's two grandchildren in that offspring list. So,
Okay.
Yeah. Been around the sun a few times. So I started out my career way back when I was 19 years old. I actually entered the corporate world at that point. So young, bushy tail, fresh eyed, completely naive. So it's fair. I can look back and say that now. So coming into the corporate environment like that and not really knowing, how that kind of works, it was a muddle along and try to figure it out. And I think one of my biggest challenges was how to deal with conflict and how to engage with other people in a positive way to move forward and get goals and all of that kind of stuff. So going through all the things, climbing the ladder, ended up as a national director just before I left the organization I was working with, and building programs for colleagues. And, one of the most popular programs that I built inside the organization was conflict management. And I actually engaged with colleagues from coast to coast, a good couple hundred of them. And this was the most popular. So, when you see people reaching out for that kind of thing, it's like, I think I'm onto something here. I'm not the only one who was lost. And when I finally did leave the organization, it was like, okay, what am I going to do? How am I going to do it? And so I ended up writing a book about smart conflict, hopefully taking folks out of the what do I do next and not having to fall into all the conflict traps that I did over the years. Hopefully that little guidebook or map that takes you to the next level of managing conflict in the workplace and at home.
Ah, there you go. So, what was the conflict that led you to a conflict expert?
You can only pick one. There were so many.
You
there
can
were
pick
so
three
many.
If you want.
You could be here a while, Dom. The first one that comes to mind, I actually put this one in the book because it was sort of that impactful moment that sort of, oh my goodness, aha moment. Like I really did something that I think I need to improve on. I was working in human resources and I was managing grievances. And I had an individual who worked for us who assaulted a colleague. And it was my
Wow.
job. So there's a whole new level of conflict.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. Well, smart conflict avoids that. So just moving on. It was my job to work with the individual to move them out of the organization and deal with the union and that kind of thing. And I remember sitting down with this individual in this meeting and I'm going, do you know why you're here? And they're like, nah, I have no idea. It's like, okay, are you sure? So on this date at this time, you know, you kind of had a run-in with a colleague multiple times with a chair. So, you know, I'm not sure how you're not remembering this. And he's like, no, I didn't do anything like that. And I was what, 24, maybe 25 at the time. And I turned my computer around and I hit play because it was all caught on security camera. I turned my computer around and there's the videotape of him doing the deed. And he lost it. He dropped. If it wasn't for that union representative who had cat-like reflexes, I would have had a fist to the jaw that day.
Ooh.
I missed so many cues that could have led me to de-escalate the conflict or pull back or approach it in a different way. I missed the nonverbal, you know, the voice deepening, the breathing rate changing, the clasping of the fists, even before I hit it. I was just so focused on, I guess, winning the conversation, which you should never do in a conflict. I was so focused on getting to the end that I completely disengaged from that conversation and really connecting with the other individual. Most conflicts don't get to this point. They don't get to nearly getting your block knocked off. But there's always that aha moment. There's always that one piece that kind of sticks with you going, oh, okay, there's obviously something wrong with my skill set. We need to fix something here. So yeah, that one I definitely included in my book. But out of all the conflicts, that one sticks out because it was so dramatic and so unusual. Where, you know, other conflicts are usually so much more laid back, you know, the barista gives you the wrong coffee order, you know, these are conflicts too, but they're not as dramatic. We don't think about them, but I think that was one that really hit for me. Pardon the pun.
Don't worry, puns are accepted here. That's right, indeed. It's a sacred currency. You're good.
Should check out my sarcasm.
Yeah, we take that in doses too. Though puns are like gold here. That's right indeed. Yeah, well, glad you're still freaking here. This sounds freaking intense. Shoot, that's freaking bad. Funny enough, actually reminded me of a past guest on the show, Rod Bourne, where he mentioned how he too was in HR and probably one of his most hilarious, probably, I guess, most that involved contact. Where instead of someone assaulting someone, they got into an argument, and then apparently the guy looked the colleague. Right?
That one's new. That one's new. I'll give it to you. I've seen a lot, but I don't think I've seen that.
So it's like, shoot, all this contact today. So my goodness. So looking back, what were some of the signs you felt like you probably should have paid attention to when it came to avoiding stuff getting to the highest level like that?
Oh, there were so many. I think the tone of voice was the first one that it should have been a trigger. Should really have been the thing. When the individual came in, their voice was a higher tone. It was very bright. It was very relaxed, you know, the whole thing. And as we kind of progressed through the conversation, and as I kept pushing and pushing and pushing, the voice started to drop. The words started to get a lot more clipped, a lot more, yes, no, didn't do that. They got a lot more brisk. And instead of taking that as a red flag, I ended up keeping on pushing. So watching for that tone of voice in your conflict conversation partner is definitely one of the things you want to tune into for a healthy conflict, as well as watching your own, because I'm sure, and I honestly don't remember because of the dramatic ending of this conversation, I'm sure my own tone of voice could have used a little work too.
Yeah, I could imagine. Tonality is huge with everything. When it comes to verbal communication, like, shoot, like, this pitch seems a little too high. I don't know. Oh, they seem kind of stern here. It's like, oh, alrighty, cool. Well, hopefully these marshmallows will come in handy to soften the blow a bit, metaphorically speaking. And with that wonderful HR background, you probably had so many stories for days that helped you realize, you know what, let me go ahead and join the business of immortality. So how does it feel to finally got your first official book out there? Because I hear you loved writing for so many years, even as a mini version of Cat.
Getting the book out was phenomenal. And I remember, even as a little girl, knowing I was going to write, I wanted to write. I loved writing even from very little. I can honestly tell you, I never thought I'd write a book on conflict. Fair. but there was always the desire to write. So going through the writing process was definitely cathartic, you know, trying to find those stories from the background that described what I was trying to, you know, my point, and getting it all across. So there was definitely that self-discovery piece, and yeah, that self-soothing piece as well. And it wasn't all terrible and awful, and I did do some things right. And then getting to the publishing and the formatting and the getting it out there, I thought the writing was hard. The publishing and getting the word out and the formatting and talking to, you know, the editors who think, okay, no, this is not what you're saying. This is what you're saying. And knowing, you know, oh my gosh, no, I really meant the other thing. That was a lot more impactful, a lot more work than I anticipated, but it is now out there. It is in the world. It is hardcover, paperback, ebook, whatever your favorite method is. It's finally out as of the 26th of March. So it's been a few weeks now, got some sales going on. So it feels really nice to be a published author and somebody actually hasn't bought a copy and is intending to read my book.
That's right, indeed. And it's a good thing you decided to tackle conflict, too, because that's freaking huge nowadays, especially where everybody and their mother, if you mention politics, which is kind of the new religion, it's like, oh, shoot, I disagree automatically. Let's freaking fight to the death. We're going to start the Crusades all over again. It's like, oh, God. So my goodness. So what helped you to decide the conflict? Was it that one profitable for the age of 24, then all the HR dealings and probably you being an entrepreneur on top of that? Or what was the catalyst or like the light bulb moment where it's like, all right, this is my wheelhouse here?
So coming out of corporate and doing all the training, that was the popular one. But actually stepping into it as the entrepreneur and picking that as the niche, I do coaching, I do training, I do all these kinds of things. And, you know, going out there and saying, yeah, I train people. Most folks just sort of scratch their head and go, yeah, whatever. So actually choosing conflict and leaning into that, it's because not a lot of people actually step into this space. Not a lot of folks will willingly say, hey, I'm going to come into your conflict and try to help and make it better. It takes a special kind of person to do that. And I mean, I know a lot of amazing mediators, a lot of great lawyers who can come in and do this, but it is a very particular type of individual who's willing to embrace the discomfort that comes along with conflict and all the emotions that go along with it. So I think that's what kind of led me to say, nope, you're a conflict coach, you're a conflict educator, and this is what we're writing about. Let's go.
Oh yeah, it's right indeed. Let's go indeed. Let's go indeed. Yeah, there's a lot of folks who are probably a conflict avoidant out there indeed. So my goodness, I imagine you help folks to really get their six pack muscles developed in the terms of dealing with conflict and handling it, I imagine.
Very much so. Not a lot of folks actually realize that most of the stuff we engage with in conflict is actually our past, the things we're bringing into it. It's so easy to say, you made me angry, they're terrible, this was horrible, this event made me. It's always that externalization of the discomfort. So in conflict coaching particularly, and mediation as well, it's really about, so what is it you're bringing in, and what is the story you're telling yourself about, your spouse not doing the dishes? Because it's really not worth a knockdown, drag them out kind of fight here. I love the toothpaste cap analogy. So,
Oh boy.
when you wake up one morning and your partner's left the toothpaste cap off again, and you walk into the bedroom and go, this is it, I'm packing my bag and leaving. You've left the toothpaste top off again. This is horrible. I can't deal with you anymore. I'm out. It's not about the toothpaste. It really is not about the toothpaste. The toothpaste might be the straw that broke the camel's back, but it's not about the toothpaste. And uncovering what it is about beyond the toothpaste is where mediation comes in, is where conflict coaching comes in.
Yeah, that's right indeed. That's right indeed. Because, yeah, funny enough, it's actually interesting that you bring that up. It's all about the past. Because, yeah, like, especially now with so many things in the melting pot of the USA and I'm sure other parts of the world too. It's like, oh, yeah, raised a certain way, brought up in a certain way, and you get into a different environment depending on where you are. And then it's like, oh, yeah, we think in a different way here. And it's like, hey, I don't like that idea here. It's like, hey. Like, I was raised and trained in a certain way here. Like, everything is wrong, even though I don't want to understand anything. I just want to be a boulder in a land of marshmallows. Metaphorically.
I love that marshmallow analogy. That's awesome. I might steal that. With all credit, I might steal that.
Go. That's right. It ain't just a Colorado you can find the boulder. Oh, it's going to turn you into a marshmallow. Like, wait. What's that supposed to mean? It's like, hey, sometimes you're as stubborn as a rock. We're gonna make you a little more soft around the edges, you know? That way it's more agreeable. And you realize, hey, it's not that big of a deal after all.
Little more pliable.
Yeah.
What came to mind when you were chatting about that, Dom, was about how we have a tendency to dehumanize and villainize other people because they have a different view. That it's so much easier to think of someone else as other or a non-entity, which makes our discomfort easier. It's something bigger. It's sort of like calling the telephone company and arguing with the telephone company on the phone and being able to swear and yell at the telephone company. When it's not technically the telephone company, it's poor Johnny who answered the phone and is now having a really bad day because you've turned Johnny into the telephone company. It just dehumanizes, which gives us this almost unwritten permission to treat people poorly. So it's about connection and about building that connection with other people and generating that empathy for other people, no matter what background we're coming from. That, you like marshmallows, I don't like marshmallows. We could solidify in these positions, but if I ask you, what is it you like about marshmallows? I'm actually building a bridge and trying to understand that maybe, just maybe, marshmallows are worth keeping on the shelves.
Yep, that's right. And then make your own very own Stonehenge replica out of marsh with those marshmallows. Yep, that's right. There you go. She's taking you from random rocks to Stonehenge. That's right. That's a whole team, y'all. Mediation. You'll love to see it. That's right, indeed. That's right, indeed. So my goodness, like, this is freaking amazing. We got this freaking good. It's like, shoot, so conflict's really just about our past here, and heck, even with conflict, folks think it's a whole war when it's just really, shoot, just a disagreement. That's really
You are
all it
absolutely
really
correct.
is.
It is a difference of perspective. That's all it is. And if you can reframe it like that, it takes some of the sting out of it. Makes such a difference.
Yeah, so there you go, y'all. So it's metaphorically not a bee sting after all, y'all. That's right. You'll be okay. You'll be okay indeed. So my goodness, so any advice for those conflict-avoidant people to be a little more confident and stepping forward? Maybe not full He-Man Hercules, but at least better than before.
You don't have to change poles from avoidant to hot reactor. You don't have to go. There is an in between. Reframing conflict. So we literally just talked about this. Restructuring it as an opportunity for creativity. If we bring our ideas together, you love marshmallows, I hate marshmallows. If we bring our ideas together, what can we create together? Doesn't make me less of a person because you don't agree with me on my marshmallow stance. It doesn't make you less of a person because I don't agree with you on your marshmallow stance. But there's something about bringing those two stances together that brings the conversation to the next level. It's easier to think outside the box when you're paying attention to what's actually outside the box.
Yeah, me like indeed, me like indeed. That's right, y'all. That's right indeed. That's right indeed. Reframing and building bridges. I like it. That's right indeed. So build that bridge full of picture frames, y'all. Reframe it. That's right indeed. Make sure it's the good heavy metal. Not the cheap wood or imitation wood.
All about engineering. And you thought we were talking about conflict.
Yeah, see, it's an engineering conversation. It's not about conflict. See yourself as an engineer. That's right.
Love that. Engineer your future. What do you want it to look like? Have the conflict. What do you want the future to look like after the conflict? Build it. Be intentional.
Be intentional indeed. Being intentional indeed. So my goodness, so since you're going a bit of a book tour with your fabulous book, is there a question that you wish folks would ask you more often when you're doing interviews like this?
That's a stellar question, Dom. What would I wish to be asked? What's the next level for my conflict journey? Because it doesn't stop at the book. But I think what's the next sort of incarnation, the embodiment of the conflict journey.
So are you going to swing into corporate offices like Indiana Jones and take their stone, and then they'll find something else to not have conflict about?
That's very dramatic. Very dramatic. Very exciting for corporate. Worked it a long time. It's a lot of gray suits, man. It's a lot of gray suits.
It's like, what happened? We don't know. We were arguing about everybody replying all to an email chain. It's been going on for 3 years. Everybody kept replying, and then this random woman dressed up like Indiana Jones just swung in and stole her coffee pot. Like, it was a super brand new Keurig too. Like, we kind of like that machine. We don't know what happened.
Take up the dynamic. Take it up.
So I'm guessing something a little more civil, like an online course, or you doing the audiobook version of your book. I'm imagining that's what's next in your conflict journey.
Next in the conflict journey, definitely doing a lot more podcasts. I'm starting to get some speaking gigs. So that's coming out. And believe it or not, after the 13-month journey of going from no book to published book, I've actually started the outline of the next one. So definitely staying tuned for that. And it's something not a particularly specific conflict, but it's intensely related, and it's about resilience. and how you need to build that internal resilience so you can engage with other folks in a positive way for creativity and personal satisfaction.
Oh, okay. So giving some of that vitamin R, that resilience. All right. Here you go. That's right indeed. Moving on from conflict to the land of resilience. That's right indeed. That's right indeed. It's like, all right, cool. I was afraid of conflict. Now I'm not so afraid. I reframed it, engineered that bridge, and now it's time to move into the new land with new demons and dragons to slay. You gotta have resilience because the fire is coming. It might breathe fire on me, but hey, cat's gonna build a shield for you. That's right indeed. And the sword. That's right. That's right indeed. Didn't know she was a conflict blacksmith. That's right. That's right indeed.
There's always more for self-improvement. There's always more, and there's next level and more demons to fight for sure.
Heck yeah. That's right indeed. That's right indeed. And they come in many forms too. It's like you think you're just in a random grocery store and you see some stuffed animals, and then they start saying stuff to you, and it's like, hey, wait a second. I don't do drugs. Let me get out of here. Stuff the animals are talking to me. How do I need to
might
avoid
be
that
on
conflict?
That might be beyond my pay grade. Just saying. That's outside my wheelhouse, Tom.
I'm about to say, I thought entrepreneurs had no limit here when it comes to pay grade.
Talking stuffed animals? Definitely. Yeah, I'm good. We're talking demons, but yeah, no.
Oh, man. Well, speaking of groceries, a fun question for you. Your fabulous book, Smart Conflict, Turning Disputes into Growth Opportunities. If that book were a food, what would it be and why?
It would be a nice curry. It smells wonderful. It looks wonderful, but it's got a bit of a burn at the end. You've really got to do the work when it comes to conflict. You know, looking at it and smelling it, knowing the theory is one thing, but the burn comes when you try to apply it. So I'd say it's a nice curry.
Oh, there you go. That's right. It's curry, y'all. That's right, indeed. That's right. That's right. Call on Steph if you have to. It's curry. That's right. That's right.
All of a sudden, very hungry, Dom.
Yeah, that's a good sign. You've now acquired one of the side effects of guesting on this podcast.
Once.
That's right. I'm not sure about the other podcasts out there, but this one comes with side effects. That's right, indeed. Don't worry, they're
all
usually
the
normal.
Legalese and disclaimer. Need the disclaimer, Tom. Need a disclaimer.
That's right. Liable to want food and tell puns to unsuspecting humans, whether the family or strangers. That's right. And may
there are worse things to do.
See, it ain't that bad. Yeah. There you go. May add yes indeed after end of every other sentence for a few hours, you know, stuff like that. Just stuff like that, yeah. Nothing major. Nothing major. It's not like a corn field growing in behind your home. It's nothing that major. Yep.
I was about to display my age. If you build it, they will come. You know, field of dreams? No? Yeah, showing my age. Never mind. You can Google it later.
Oh, don't worry. If you pot it, it'll cast it. Yeah. That's right. Well, before another pun appears, becomes a field of nightmares, a fun question for you since you went full-time in entrepreneurship. So, my goodness, so what would you consider your biggest setback in business that actually sets you up for success?
Definitely the fear. So you come out of a structure that you've been in for so long, and it's a structure, and there's a regular payday, and there's somebody else's, you know, framework that you're working within, and everything's great, and you know where you're going, and you have a 5-year plan, and everything's fantastic. And then you jump in, and this is now your dream. This is now your structure. This is now what you want to do in 5 years. And there's definitely a lot of fear that goes in with that. And I'd say the first 6 months, it was white knuckled terror. But once I leaned into the fear, and once I leaned into, no, let's do things that I've never really done before. Let's try and step outside of that box. Let's bring it to the next level. It changed everything. So identifying the fear and then leaning into the fear and cannonballing into the water, more or less. It's cold, don't care, let's go. I think made all the difference. So it was moving forward, not because there was no fear. It was moving forward because there was fear.
All right, cool. Name of the game, do it afraid, y'all, if you're scared. That's right indeed. That's right indeed. If you're scared, just move forward. That's right indeed. See yourself as two lines. That's right indeed. Inflation's out there, y'all. See yourself as two. That's right. That's right. One of those mythical beasts, maybe. Maybe a two-headed lion. Yeah, there we go. Yeah. That's right. That's right indeed. Don't be scared, y'all. That's right indeed. You conquer that fear. That's right. So was it fear of failure and success, or just plain fear of failure?
I think it was a little bit of both, that if I take it to the next step, will I be able to handle what comes after? And what if nobody likes it? What if nobody wants to talk to me? What if, So there was definitely the fear of failure as well. And then there was the fear of what I would become. So there was that internal fear as well, that I had spent so many years, like decades, being one person, being one type of person. What would happen if I was someone else? Would I like myself as someone else? So there was definitely an internal piece that went along with that as well.
There we go. That's right indeed. And the name of the game is It Wasn't So Bad After All. That's right. Yeah, so
True. So true.
was scared of nothing. That's right indeed. That's right indeed. She thought she was gonna be one of those three-headed jaguars, but nope. Instead, successful entrepreneur with a published book. Spreading the masses and the molasses with that wonderful lack of fear after getting over their fear of being conflict avoidant. That's right indeed. That's right indeed. That's right. It's no longer a ball of spikes anymore, y'all. That's right indeed. No longer a ball of spikes. That's right. That is also now a marshmallow. That's right. We softened it. That's right
We're back to
indeed.
the marshmallows.
Yeah, we also run jokes to the ground here. Well, anyways, coming down to the magical
Good try.
question that every guest gets to receive, and that is, if you're to wake up tomorrow and you're 25 again, but you're still in the current year, what advice would you give to yourself?
Other than not marrying my first husband, so put that one aside. Let's see. Take more risks. Take more risks. It's scary, but it's not as scary as your brain's making it out to be. Take more risks.
Wait, there you go. That's right indeed. Take more risks indeed, y'all. That's right indeed. That's right indeed. That's right indeed. You heard that right, folks. Don't be scared. That's right indeed. That's right indeed. That's right. That's right indeed. Heard it from the supreme mediator herself, y'all. That's right indeed. That's right indeed. Well, the good news is folks only got probably 0 point freaking 1% of what the magical cat has to offer. So for those who need to dive in the other 99.9% of what cat does and cop some copies of your magical book, what's the best way for folks to do so?
Sway is on the website, smartconflictbook.com. Everything is there, from the book to mediation to coaching to training, all of it's there.
That's right indeed. That's right indeed. Smart conflict, y'all. That's right indeed. The conflict is no longer stupid. It went from dunce hat to graduation cap, y'all. That's right indeed. All thanks to Kat. So she's got you covered, y'all. She's got you covered like a blanket indeed. So be sure to click the links in the show notes. It'll lead it directly to her site. And cop some copies of her book and share it with your friends, family, cat, dog, penguin. Heck, even share with a salamander too. That's right indeed. That salamander might have some conflict with somebody. I don't know. Maybe conflict with a chameleon. There you go. So yeah. Yeah, help them two animals get together. That's right. Maybe not. But hey, ain't about animals, it's about your success, y'all. So any parting words before we close up shop, Kat?
The takeaway that I think I would love to leave everybody with is conflict is creativity. Conflict is creativity. Think on it, journal on it, chat about it with your friends. Conflict is creativity.
If you're listening to this, that means you're one cool individual. If you want to be cooler than two cucumbers, share this episode with someone that you think will enjoy it too. And be sure to subscribe and keep being fabulous.